Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of experience. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
So I'm delighted that we're joined now from Edinburgh by Shane Daniel Byrne. I'm sure you're familiar with his many sketches. Now, we're going to play one before we talk to him from Easter 2021. And Easter is the key here, because if you get offended by jokes that involve religion, you may not want to listen to this. And I want to tell you that before you start issuing any complaints to us. So here is Shane Daniel Byrne, his take on Mary, Mother of God, as if she was an Irish mammy.
Hi, Elizabeth. Listen, it's only me. Panic over. Yeah, you won't believe who's after walking across the door here. Jesus Christ almighty. Why do we do it? Why do we have kids? I know, the stress they put you through. Yeah, he's in now. He didn't come to me first. You know where he was? He was over in Mary Magdalene's. Oh, yeah, first port call, Mary Magdalene, wasn't it? Thinks he's God's gift. He's here now. He's going in for a shower. Don't be there too long. Yeah. Anyway, listen, because I had an idea. Anyway, because I was speaking to Peter, and Peter was kind of saying, you know, we'll wait till Sunday, see what happens on Sunday. We'll leave it there till Sunday, keep an eye on things. And then in the meantime, I spoke to Thomas then. I wasn't sure then, because Thomas was saying 100% no. He didn't believe it at all. He said, no, he's gone. That's the end of it. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I said, yeah, I never liked the Iscariots. I never did. And the very same. They were the very same in school. Yeah. Anyway, listen, you may come over tonight because we're doing... I said we'd make a feast just to do something, just to mark it, kind of. So Joe's gone down to get a leg of lamb. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Listen. No, he was over with his father. That's right. Yeah, three. You think he would have sent Gabriel at least to let me know. I know. Yeah, well, I have to go up myself. That's the next thing now. That'll be the next stress. Yeah. I'm going up. Well, that's the assumption anyway.
Okay. Shane Daniel Byrne, hello to you. Shane, did you get any complaints about that? Because we're taking perhaps a little bit of a risk in playing that on national radio.
No, I didn't. It's actually really funny hearing that just in audio, because it sounds like some radio play or something. It sounds like, if you don't see my face dressed up as Mary, it seems weird. You know, I got lots and lots of comments from all around the world on that one. That's the biggest video I ever did online. And only one was saying it was offensive. And I really don't agree. Like, I understand your warning, but I'm like, actually, it's just a retelling. I'm not actually making any comment on any of it or anything like that. I always think it's fine. I was like, that one's fine. And people tell me, it's like, oh, my uncle's a priest and he was howling, or my weaving and nun and all the rest, and she liked it. So I think if I get their seal of approval, then I'm doing something right, yeah.
It still works as audio rather than having to watch the video. It works really well.
Yeah, but it did feel like I was listening to a play. I mean, it is cringy to listen to yourself, but I did feel like I was listening to a play by, I don't know, some gay guy playing a woman. That's what they love doing. I don't know, I felt like that.
Of course, your background before moving to comedy was in theatre, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have been like a straight actor. I was in kind of more experimental. That's kind of where I was, kind of performance art, kind of live art. So very different from comedy, but also there's similarities. I did lots of work talking about myself and my own self, and that's similar to comedy. So I did try and make, in the theatre I was doing, I was trying to make work about myself that would hopefully, you know, the personal becomes universal. God, it's a while since I've talked so arty. you're just talking about crack.
I'm going to continue the arty theme, so perhaps, because you have the stage show now, effectively. Well, it's a comedy show. You're at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival doing Troubled Denim. But is a comedy set that different from doing a stage show?
Your responsibilities on stage are different. I mean, if you're an actor in a play, your responsibility is to just tell the story that's been given to you, and do justice to the rehearsals you've done together and the work you're doing and the images you're creating as a company or as an ensemble or whatever. Whereas as a comedian, there's a lot more responsibility on you, because you're kind of saying, like, I think this is funny, and that's a bit of a risk. Like, that's risky for me, saying I think this is funny, and I really just hope you do too. But you have a lot of, like, it's a very, there's a lot of, you're managing a room. It's different every time. Comedy's never the same the next day. Whereas something in a rehearsed play, you can just be the same because that's what you've planned or you've blocked it out or whatever. You've got to be spontaneous as well. But I think comedy's demands much more spontaneity and much more trying to be as present as you can and responding to the different people in the room and what a different show is like. Like, I'm in Edinburgh now and someday there'll be 116 people. That's a full house for me. And the next day there could be 20. So that's a much different atmosphere.
And will you vary the show dramatically?
Not really. It's kind of more like little things like pace. It's kind of like you're just changing things, or sometimes they're a bit quiet at the beginning and you kind of go, okay, it might be one of these shows. So you kind of pick things up and change your energy and kind of get a bit louder or do a bit of chat to the front row maybe or something like that, just to kind of get things moving. And it's much different here. Like I just off the back of a tour in Ireland, and then I came here, and the people who come see me in Ireland, they kind of know me already. So that's a lot of the work is done. They have an idea of what I might be like. And that, whereas here you have to introduce yourself, get them ingratiated with you, make them like you, and then do the show. So I actually really like that part of being kept on my toes. I'm enjoying that.
Okay. So this is Trouble Denim. How's it getting? What's our response? Are you getting to it?
It's been really lovely. And I'm in a much, like last year I was in a smaller room, and this year I took the risk and gone to a bigger room, and that's paid off. Like, everybody, you ask another comedian on the street, how was your show today? Yeah, show was fine. How many were in? That's what everyone always talks about every single time. And it's been really nice. I kind of came, the first year you do a show as a stand-up, you do an hour long, you kind of put together every bit of stand-up you ever did. And then you kind of say, right, is there a theme here? What am I talking about? And then the second year, like, this is the difficult second album. And it's like, okay. And I landed in Edinburgh much less prepared, far less prepared than I was the first time. So this time it was kind of like really kind of the first week or so, still kind of getting the show together and changing things and going home every day and working and, you know, and then or sitting in cafes with notebooks and then other comedians doing the same. And that kind of feels kind of nice.
Well, you're bringing it to the Dublin Fringe Fest. What can the audience expect when they see you perform Trouble Denim?
It's very much a straight stand-up show. Like, I do lots of characters and stuff on the internet I've done, but it's very much just stand-up. And it's kind of about, this year I was thinking about, like, my life is different. I'm a year as a comedian full-time now, as a stand-up. And I was thinking about that and different things. And this year it's kind of like, and as well, being Irish coming here, I kind of feel like we have a bit of there's an inferiority complex for Irish people sometimes. And think, oh, they're all doing great stuff in London and don't mind us. There can be a bit of that. So I'm kind of doing about me in Ireland having a bit of an inferiority complex, because I sometimes do that where I think the other comedians are all better than me, or I wouldn't be that good, or they put me on first because I'm the worst or whatever, all these kind of things. So that's kind of it's just kind of about my life since last year. Yeah, that's it. My new life as a comedian kind of, but a lot about Ireland too.
Yeah. And when you toured But He's Gay, what sort of reaction did you get to that?
It was fantastic. I did. That was, again, I don't know why I can't get away from the Ireland. That was about kind of me and I was, it was about me growing up gay and the trials and tribulations of that. And then also how Ireland, I was born in the late 80s. So Ireland changed a lot over that period of my life. So it's kind of about me and Ireland growing up together. So I don't know why I'm like in my stand up sets in clubs, you know, during the weeks or whatever, you know, in the pubs around Dublin and Ireland. I don't do that stuff of, sure, aren't we mad? Aren't the Irish all gas? Aren't we all, what are we like? I don't do that kind of stuff. But I think when I'm thinking of a full show, for some reason, I can't help. Irishness just comes out. I can't help that. I don't know why.
So what do you do in the shows?
What do I do in the clubs? In the clubs? It's much more, I like to keep things, I like to try and always have something new. Like a stand-up, you have to kind of be aware of what's going on in the news. So I always try and keep something that's brand new, whatever's going on that week. Or I always try and have a bit of crack with the audience. Not too much like, how you doing, sir? What do you do for a living? I don't really do that. But I always try and keep it just a bit fresher. And then on splice in the material as well. But a stand-up set is that's 15, 20 minutes in a club. Is get up there, get them laughing as much as possible, leave on your best joke, and that's great. Whereas in the show, in an hour-long show, you've kind of more time to think about other things and share more opinions or bigger things. You kind of, the time just lends itself to more, to affect, kind of talk about a bigger theme or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned earlier that, you know, the sort of comedians ask each other about how many people showed up. What happens if only 15 or 20 people show up, and then if they don't start laughing?
The lowest I've had was 12, right? That was, and that was in the first week, and that's to be expected, right? So that's
okay. Enough.
And it, you know, it actually is fine. That's where they say the Edinburgh for Comedians is such a, it's like a boot camp, because you come back much stronger. You come back bulletproof. That's what all the lads say. You'll be bulletproof, bro. And it's, you just do the show. Like, people do shows here to two people. People do shows to five people. Sometimes some shows are going to go better than others. That's the risk of stand-up as well. You know, when everyone says, oh, it must be terrifying to get up there. It's actually, the scary part is not about getting up there in the first instance. The scary part is getting up there when you've experienced it going badly. You've had bombing, we call it, or dying on your arse. So once you've done that, if you've bombed, the idea of getting up again and knowing that could happen again, that's much riskier. That's a much more dangerous step to take. But like, you just have to kind of accept it. And Edinburgh is kind of good because you do 26, 27 shows. And if one has gone bad of a midweek rainy Wednesday and there's only a few people there, sometimes they can be great, those shows as well. But if you have a bad show, even if it's full house, you can have a show that you didn't enjoy, or you felt like you were just going through the motions, or you might be just tired that they don't go as well.
How are you afterwards then? I mean, if you've had a good show, are you on a high? If you've had a disappointing show, how do you cope with that afterwards?
A good show for me is more relief. You're just delighted that people enjoyed it. You're just so glad that they had a good time. Like, I really feel a comedian's has a lot of responsibility towards the audience. Like, they've paid for a ticket, they plan on having a good time, and if you can deliver that, it's just the best thing ever. Like, that's what you do. Everyone's had bad shows, but when you've had a good show where you really smash it and you just feel like you're on top of the world, that's why you keep going back. You're always chasing that again. But after a bad show here, like, I haven't had too many. Do you know what's funny? I have this instinct when the show hasn't, I've had a couple that I didn't really like that much. And you feel this instinct to then go, I'm just going to post on Instagram or something and say, look, wasn't a great show today. Sorry about that. And you just can't do that. You feel like you'll get forgiven if you do that. But you can't do that because that's not fair on the people who were there, who may have had a perfectly good time. They may have really enjoyed themselves, but it's not fair to then say, oh, that one was a bit rubbish. Sorry. So I don't know how you kind of just talk to your pals. I talk to other comedians, and everyone's in the same boat here. There's thousands of us doing the same thing. So you kind of just offload it there. And every day, because you have 26 shows, the next day, every day is its own universe here. You just get up and you're like, right, new one tomorrow. Follow the routine, get back to it. Let's go again.
Well, everyone can see Shane Daniel Byrne at the Peacock with Troubled Denim as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival between the 16th and 21st of September. The tickets are on sale at fringefest.com. Shane, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of experience. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.